Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
As a scientist, I can tell you that Sundays are only 24 hours long. But with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV, you get every game every Sunday all in one place. That's upwards of 30 hours of NFL in one day. How can there be 30 hours in 24 hours, you ask? I have a theory. Magic. New users get NFL Sunday Ticket for 8 payments of $34.50 per month. Sign up at NFLSundayTicket.com. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games and commercial use. Terms and embargoes apply. Availability varies.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, Frank Lee, it's over!
All right, let's hit it. Play Tessie, episode 269. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEI. Before we get going, hit the subscribe button wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. You can find all the Play Tessie episodes in the Play Tessie playlist. You can subscribe to WEI while you're there. And then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sam, here with Pat and the Sox. Of course, they did it again. They won the first two games and they lost the second, or they lost the third. But it's different this time. This time, like, my mood, like, I am unchanged. Unchanged. I'm unbothered by this loss because they did what they needed to do in this series, which was win the crochet game, which needed to be a given, and it was, because they whooped ass in the second game, but they needed to win another one too, and they got the first one. And they got some luck on their hands too with the Astros dropping 2 out of 3. Two of the A's on the road. The magic number is 1. I'm unbothered because for the Red Sox to not make the playoffs, for the Red Sox to not be in the dance, they would have to get swept by the ice-cold Tigers. The Astros would have to go on the road and sweep the Angels, and the Guardians would have to play the Rangers and win 2 out of 3. So individually, like, I could say, oh, yeah, I could see the Astros sweep the Angels. The Angels aren't good. I could see the Guardians taking 2 out of 3 against anybody right now. I could see, it's harder to see the Red Sox getting swept by the Tigers the way they're going right now. That's maybe the biggest stretch out of them all. But I'm unbothered because I genuinely feel like, well, we lost an opportunity to have the quickest possible scenario of the Red Sox clinching from the last time we recorded. We did gain an opportunity to see this team clinch at Fenway, and I'm fully convinced they're still going to clinch. I don't know what their playoff odds are now, but before the games today, they were 99.6. I assume they're still above 99%. I still feel great about things. I know there were some things that in today's game to not love, and they continued the trend of not being able to close sweeps. But that said, it could be so much worse. We could have been in such a different place entering this show. I'm not letting this last game impact that, because in the end, they're going to be in the same place, which is on the road for a wild card series. We just need to figure out where.
I'm right there with you, Gordon. I am not really fazed by this loss. The magic number stays at one. Also, to be 100% transparent, my friend invited me to the game on Friday night. So I was sitting at home tonight on the couch, just having this internal battle. Of course, I want to see the Red Sox clinch. Of course, I don't want to see anything risky. I don't want that to happen. But going to Fenway Friday and seeing the clinch in person does sound pretty, pretty fun. So not happy the Red Sox lost, of course. I'll never be happy when the Red Sox lose. But that said, I'm pretty excited for Friday. I am pretty excited for Friday. I feel good about it. Not great. Good. Not great. It's not the greatest matchup of all time pitching-wise. But like you said, Gordo, the Red Sox are like lukewarm. I wouldn't call them hot. Like they're warm-ish. The Tigers are pretty damn cold. They did win on Thursday, but still, they overall, they're in the midst of one of the most historic collapses in recent memory. So overall, feeling good. Magic number stays at one. If you're not familiar with the magic number, it just means the Red Sox need to win one game or the teams behind them. Right now, the Astros need to lose one game. So the odds of the Red Sox not making the playoffs are minuscule. Knocking on wood, listen close. That was me knocking on wood. But man, Friday, if you're in the house, don't take out your phone. I hate when people film. Like if there's two outs in the ninth and the Red Sox are winning, don't film it.
Yeah, you'll
just
be able to see it.
You can watch it on TV a million times. Your grainy cell phone video with your shaky hand and Johnny, whoever, yelling in the background with Susie, who just fell in love because of the Sox. We don't want to hear that. Be in the moment. I'm fired up.
Or you'll be like me when I was taking that picture of Matt Damon with the baseballs and boring shirt and your finger will get in the shot. You guys remember that one?
Are you fucking idiot? Yeah.
That was so bad. That was a low moment.
Well, I remember that just because you're like, oh my God, my finger. And then I took
a perfect picture.
Next to you, a perfect pictures. But I didn't tell you for a second. Do you think they could like get that out of the picture or something? Yeah.
You know, they have those ads. It's like those Samsung ads where it's like I think they might even be the Apple ads now where it's like, oh, like that dude's picking his nose in the background of this great picture and they just kind of Photoshop him out. Maybe there would be a way to get it out of there. But thanks to the perfect photography, Dr. Patrick Brown, it was not needed.
I'll give you a vibe check.
All right.
I'm not nervous.
You're nervous.
Pat, you're
voice.
Nervous.
You're nervous.
What are you nervous about? Are you nervous? Okay, let me ask you a question. Are you nervous that they're not going to make the playoffs, or are you nervous about what you're seeing for when they make the playoffs?
No, I'm nervous they will make the playoffs.
Oh my God.
Dude, it's just anytime something goes poorly, I just default to like 2011. And that's a horrible mindset to be in. Like that was so different. Like I get it. But it's just like, yeah, the magic number is one game, but you only have three left. And I get that's not the Sox have to win one. But it's also three games. And like I know the likelihood they make it. I'm not stupid. I know what the chances are. I know what the probabilities are. That being said, my mind cannot shake them just getting backdoor fucked over these last three games. That being said, in terms of kind of earlier today, we were talking about this kind of scenario, like, oh, like the Sox win tonight, do you want to do it at home, blah, blah. As someone who unfortunately cannot be at Fenway this week, and I have no dog in this fight, Sammy was like, Sammy and Gordo are fucking losers, and they're like, oh, we're rooting for the Astros. I want them to clinch at home. So
no, that's not what we said. That's not what we said. We said we want them to clinch off a win. We didn't want them to, like, Pat, could you imagine if
I'll pull up the text. I know Sammy said it.
I was rooting. I was full on. Wanted the Astros to win today because I wanted the Red Sox to clinch with a win. Yes. I wasn't, you know, nothing other than that. Clinch off, like, do it yourself.
Like, Pat, can you imagine if they had, remember, they were perfect gamed through six. Imagine if the Astros lost today, the Red Sox get perfect gamed, and then they're fucking popping champagne in Toronto after getting perfect game.
That would be so Red Sox. That would be the most Red Sox thing in the world is they clinch before the game because a different team lost, and then they get no hit for six innings or perfect game for six innings, and then they have an awkward celebration. And nobody's talking about the fact that they clinched. People are just talking about, should they have celebrated? Should they not have? This is what ownership and Craig Breslow, like, oh my God, that I'm so glad that didn't happen.
So
can I bring you guys back? Do you remember the last time that happened? Do you remember? It was 2016. They clinched off of someone else losing, and they were winning in Yankee Stadium. And right. I think it was Joe Kelly blew the game and they lost. And they propped champagne. And then they tumbled to the finish line and they lost in four games in the division series to the cheating Astros. Bang.
Was it 17? There was one year. I can't remember
It was 17. They got walked 17. Off. Didn't they get walked off on the day they clinched? Like, it was like a walk-off grand slam or something nuts like that, where they lost in horrifying fashion. But then they're like, oh, we did make the playoffs today.
It was the Astros' year. Yeah, because it wasn't when they went to the Guardians.
Pat? 17.
So one year, I cannot remember the two teams. Both teams were popping champagne in their locker rooms, respectively. One team won, lost. One team won, one team lost.
That's cool.
And I cannot remember who it was.
Wasn't that, that was last year, right?
I think it was last year, 2 years ago, yeah. But so going back to my point, earlier today I said, I hope the Astros lose. And like Sammy and Gordo were like, oh, but just imagine. But what if, but they should earn it. They should really try and win the ball game tonight. I go, I'm not fucking picky. After what's happened this year, get it done. I don't care. Nah,
if you were going to the game on Friday, you'd be like, for them to win.
But I said that. And then Sammy goes, logic. That's why you're the doctor.
You were being logical. Credit to you for that.
But yeah. Anyways.
Okay, maybe I'll lay something out for you guys.
We'll FaceTime you, Pat, from the ballpark.
Oh, he'll love that.
I will jump off of the monster the next time.
What if it's Murph? What if Murph picks up and you're like,
That would be so much worse, dude.
But you'd feel like you're part of the celly.
Sammy, let me lay out a scenario for you. If the Red Sox lose tomorrow night's game, the team will undoubtedly be. And by tomorrow night, I mean Friday. If the Red Sox lose on Friday night, the Red Sox players and staff will undoubtedly stay in the clubhouse and watch the Astros game, which starts at 9:38 p.m. You will not stay?
I'm going home.
A first time in your lifetime to be that close, to essentially be part of the celebration, and you will go home.
But they're not going to come out on the field. We're not allowed in the clubhouse. They're not going to come out on the field and pop bottles in an empty Fenway.
They always come out on the field because they take pictures with family and stuff.
You think they're going 2.5 hours after the game? Excuse me. You think they're going to come out?
I think they'll take a team picture.
What if the Astros lose in like 16 innings and the Red Sox come out at 2 a.m. on the field at Fenway and they take a team picture?
And it's Gordo's the lone man in the stands. Gordo's the lone man in the stands. Woo! 2 a.m.
I made pizza for all of you.
I got trays on trays.
Why does it smell like shrimp?
Some horizontal, some circular.
Circular?
All right. I'll tell you another reason why I need them to clinch on Friday, outside of the fact that is the game I will be at this weekend. Because I would be at Saturday, except my cousin's getting married. And the wedding, the game starts at 4. The wedding starts at 4:30. If the Red Sox lose tomorrow on Friday and the Astros win on Friday, and I have to holding the phone to the side of my pants, sitting at the table watching the Red Sox clinch the playoffs when I've watched every goddamn game all season, that's going to be annoying.
Quick follow up. I got a theory. Well, not even a theory, just a hypothetical here. If they lose tomorrow, but the Astros lose tomorrow, how do you feel?
I'm still going home. I'll be happy, but I'm still
going home. I'm just saying in general.
It's fine. Do they clinch? Yeah. But it's unexciting.
But at a certain point in time, the greed turns into fear. And it, like, I will not be sitting with four days left. I can get greedy and ask them to clinch off a win. If we're getting to Saturday at this point, it's like, okay, now we're getting a little bit dicey. Let's just clinch.
That was my mindset today. And I got called a fucking idiot.
No,
because you don't have tickets.
No, you are not a fucking idiot. I actually think that's why Sammy called you the doctor. He was calling you the smart one.
Joe,
you know this, Pat. I'm on your side. Like, just get in for crying out loud. The two guys that can't just go to Fenway whenever the hell they want.
You can go to Fenway whenever the hell you want. You have a
wait, Joe. You
test. No, yeah, Joe, you have more access than us.
Joe, you're the only
I'm
guy
working the game. I'm working the actual game.
No, you have the most access out of all of us by a lot, like double.
Okay, hold on. Let's put it out there for those who don't know. For me, Sammy, and Pat, we have to like apply through EEI like multiple days before a game if we want credentials for it. Joe, as a producer, he has a season pass. He doesn't have to apply for anything. He doesn't need to plan in advance. He could just come and go as he pleases. Pat.
Joe's going to be in there with fucking goggles tomorrow night, and it's going to piss me off because he's a big, because right now you're on my side. The second you're in that clubhouse, goggles on,
no,
drunk on champagne.
I'm producing the game. I have
to
be the whole
producing
time.
Bottle shots. Like, this is crazy. He's going to be the clubhouse.
Joe,
no, I'm not.
Joe, if they clinch, does that add anything to your end of game schedule?
I don't think so. I think it's just regular post game as normal. I bet you probably the Wills will probably want to go longer than normal after the,
you know what that means?
The final out.
You know what that means, Joe? That means I can finally take you to a strip club tomorrow. Let's go. Well,
hold on,
Centerful.
Joe.
It is just you and me Saturday. So,
what would stop you, Joe, from, because Joe produces the games from the studio in Brighton. He does not produce the game from Fenway. What would stop you from driving to Fenway after and just coming back with your credential?
Because I'm tired as hell. Because I'm staying up till 3 a.m. recording.
Well, now it's a decision.
Tennessee.
Now it's a decision. Come on, Joe, put some goggles on.
No, you guys clearly still don't understand my job.
I don't.
Listen, Joe, it's a long.
Your
season.
Job
you got,
is
you gonna
be handing out bottles of champagne tomorrow night, and that irritates me. Not saying you don't deserve it. It's just that I can't be there with you.
The celebration will be over by the time I even get there if I decide to go.
Joe, we're going
to already
that
pop. They'll already be popping the bottles or whatever, and the Wills will still be talking before we get to Christian Arcan to wrap things up for Red Sox Review.
What if this conversation is the ultimate jinx and they miss the playoffs?
Oh, I would.
Welcome
then we're
going to
blame
brain.
Gordo and Sammy.
I'll take way more blame than like
don't say my name. I get no blame.
Well, you're talking about Joe wearing goggles, so you are assuming they're going to make it.
I blame Pat for his negativity.
But I agree. Sammy and I definitely got greedy today, and I think it's okay to be greedy today. But after tomorrow, there's no greed. Like, if the Red Sox lose tomorrow, we're actively rooting against the Astros. No more greed.
Yes.
No more greed.
No.
Greed can be good, but you have to keep it in check. So I'm an update just came up on my phone. It's a complete subject shift, but it's relevant. It just came up on my phone. They asked Story about the throws.
Oof.
You know, he keeps missing throws.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Trevor Story said, I think just not finishing the play late in the season, I think your body can get tired, but that's no excuse. It's really just not finishing the play, so it's on me. I've got to be obviously very diligent about finishing the throw.
Can I just put the kibosh on this? I've tweeted a few times like about Story not making the throws, and I see people saying he's tired. He hasn't played this many games. It's a throw from shortstop to first base. It has nothing to do with being tired. He's not sprinting around the field. It's a throw. I don't like that excuse at all. I think it's mental. I think it's the yips. Like, we've all been there. I had the yips real bad in high school. I injured my lower back pitching, and then when I came back, it was like, how do I throw? It was like my brain completely forgot how to throw a baseball at all. So it's a real thing. Like, you can, like, and I had been playing for 15, 16 years of my life. So, you know, not the greatest baseball player ever, but I know how to throw a fucking baseball. And Trevor Story, he's a guy who's, who like has looked elite at times playing defense. Has nothing to do with fatigue, in my opinion. He is fatigued, but the throwing thing is not the fatigue showing itself.
Well, he also made the jump throw. Like he did the Jeter throw, and it was right on the money.
The story throw. Don't.
He did the Jeter throw, and it was right on the money.
All right, I don't know what you're talking about. He did that throw where he jumped in the air.
The throw that Derek Jeter kind of made famous.
It's not like he ran out of energy on Thursday, but he had the energy on Wednesday to make a throw. It's not fatigue. It's either the yips or he has an injury that we don't know about.
On the yips thing, first off, very legit. I mean, look at fucking Rick Ankiel. Rick Ankiel.
Knobloch.
Yeah, dude. Rick Ankiel's entire career changed. I've noticed, though, that the bad throws the last week and a half, 2 weeks, have come from, I won't say routine plays, but plays where he has a second to think.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, those backhand throws, that's instinctual. That's get the ball to the glove, get it over. The second he has time to gather and step, that is where the throws have kind of been wonky. Saw it today with Vlad. He saw it yesterday. Seen it like five times the past whatever it is, 10 games. And it's all on plays where he can gather, think, and step.
So I hate to use myself as an example because I'm not even 1/16th the baseball player that Trevor Story was. But when I had the yips, same thing. If I was playing shortstop and a ball was hit to my backhand and I had to get the ball and throw it, bang, right on the money. But if there was a routine ground ball that I had a moment to think, crow hop, throw the ball, I would like throw it into the dugout or way over the head of the first baseman. And it's a weird feeling. It's so weird. Imagine forgetting how to do a thing that you've done a million times just out of nowhere. It's awful. It's very depressing, to be fully honest.
One other play that I think further exemplifies why it could be.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The yips, that double play feed that he just dropped yesterday as we record.
Yeah,
like weird. That's a play where here, like you're stutter stepping on the bag and then just kind of fielding it. So that entire length of going from shortstop to second base, you're thinking about that feed, and he just point blank fucked it up.
Yeah, no, it's true. I don't know what it is. He's gonna have to get it cleaned up. I don't by the postseason, like. These errors right now in games that, like, at least for right now, you can afford to lose the third game of the Blue Jays series. Once you hit the wild card series, I don't care where you are. I don't care what game it is. I don't care if you're up 1-0 in that series. Like, you can't afford any mistake like that. So, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's been happening for pretty much the whole month at this point. And it's, yes, he had the drop there, but it's been almost outside of that 90% with the throws. So, he's just got to figure it out. I don't know.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Eczema isn't always obvious, but it's real. And so is the relief from Ebglyss.
After an initial dosing phase, about 4 in 10 people taking Ebglyss achieved itch relief and clear or almost clear skin at 16 weeks. And most of those people maintain skin that's still more clear at 1 year with monthly dosing.
Ebglyss, lebrikizumab, LBKZ, a 250 milligram per 2 milliliter injection, is a prescription medicine used to treat adults and children 12 years of age and older who weigh at least 88 pounds or 40 kilograms with moderate to severe eczema, also called atopic dermatitis, that is not well controlled with prescription therapies used on the skin or topicals, or who cannot use topical therapies. Ebglyss can be used with or without topical corticosteroids. Don't use if you're allergic to Ebglyss. Allergic reactions can occur that can be severe. Eye problems can occur. Tell your doctor if you have new or worsening eye problems. You should not receive a live vaccine when treated with Ebglyss. Before starting Ebglyss, tell your doctor if you have a parasitic infection.
Searching for real relief? Ask your doctor about Ebglyss and visit ebglyss.lilly.com or call 1-800-LILY-RX or 1-800-545-5979.
I'm Christian McCaffrey, pro running back, and Abercrombie is an official fashion partner of the NFL. I'm not kidding when I say NFL by Abercrombie broke the internet last year, and I think this season's lineup is even cooler. And so does my wife, who keeps stealing all my hoodies. Stay fit for the season in Abercrombie's newest arrivals. Shop NFL by Abercrombie in the app, online, and in store.
Do you want to talk about some of the starters in this series?
Dude, we got to talk about Croce.
We could start there because, I mean, his regular season's done. And yeah, I feel like we should go back and think about where our heads were at when they acquired him and maybe even before they acquired him. I mean, there were people out there that didn't want the Red Sox to get Croce for one reason or another. Maybe it's like, oh, I don't want to see them trade prospects when they can just spend the money. Obviously Croce didn't have like a huge pedigree of success. He had only had one season as a starter and he didn't even pitch more than 4 innings in a start in the second half. So it was a lot of sight unseen with him, but obviously the stuff was tantalizing. And it's like, what can we tap into if we get this guy? You know, he's going to be really good, but can he be great? And you know, when he got here, I think we wanted him to be an ace, but when you don't throw a full season of innings, you can't be considered an ace at that point if you haven't done that. So It was not a certainty that he was going to walk in here and be an ace. But I mean, we texted about this. What even was the biggest hiccup of his season? He was pretty much dominant from start to finish. And the only thing I could think of was he had that 7 earned run out against the Guardians, which, and the start before that, he went, I think it was 6 innings, 2 runs against the Orioles, but it didn't look pretty. And it, like, honestly, he had a little bit of luck on his side. Outside of that, like, dominant start to finish. And for a guy with the amount of innings that he had in his career leading up to the season, it's beyond impressive that he was able to make it to the finish line and look as insanely good as he did in his last start, 8 shutout innings. Pat?
Agree with everything that you just said. He also got shelled by the Reds. Sox won that game. What's Chase Burns' first start, and the Sox are up like 6-0, and then Croce just proceeded to get absolutely ripped apart by the Reds. But yeah, everything you just said, like, you took a high, I wouldn't call him like a high upside guy, but nothing guaranteed guy. He not only was everything that you would hope for in his, like, at the peak of what you kind of wanted out of Garrett Croce, that was him in year one. Full workload, led the majors in innings, strikeouts,
18 and 5 record.
18 wins. Like, every single thing you wanted out of him or any ace this year, he quite literally checked every single box and never had, like, more than one bad start or 2 okay starts in a row. That's incredible.
Yep.
I mean, listen to the conversation we just had. We're talking about the adversity he faced. Gordo's example was he had an okay start followed by a bad start, and then Pat was a standalone bad start. If that is your adversity, in quotations, that you face, that's like the 2018 Red Sox team, where the only slump they had was when they got swept on Players Weekend by the Rays, and that was it. Croce, like you said, Gordo, he was never a guarantee, to be an ace, but a great bet to be an ace. The stuff was there. Fastball that sits high 90s with outstanding extension. A great cutter. A slider. Recently, he's added a sinker, which is nasty. That's at the top of my notes, is that he's throwing that sinker way more, which moves the same kind of shape as the changeup, but 10, 12 miles an hour faster. Just an unbelievable pitch. He is everything the Red Sox and Red Sox fans wanted and more. And I think the most impressive thing, well, two things. The most impressive thing is that he made it start to finish and led the league in innings without hardly a blip on the radar. But the second most impressive thing, he was a stopper, not just an ace, but you can't even count the amount of times where we were on this show talking about X, Y, and Z is going wrong with this Red Sox team, but we have Crochet starting in a day or two. Hopefully they win that Crochet game. You got to win the Crochet game. And like 90% of the time, the Red Sox would win the Crochet game. And that's what a true ace is. A guy that it's winning day. Like Alex Cora said, one out of every 5 days, it feels like it's win day. He is unbelievable. I can't, and the extension too, credit to Craig Breslow. Tons of credit to Craig Breslow. One, for making this trade, which like one of you said, a lot of people thought was an overpay, which hilarious that anyone even thought that. And two, getting the extension done. So Breslow, this is easily his best work that he's done, the Crochet saga altogether. Thrilled, long term, cannot wait to see him in the playoffs.
So he, like, we can't gloss over, and I don't think we have glossed over it, but I feel like this is the biggest part of the Crochet story this year, is he made his major league debut in the 2020 season. So before he got here, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024. There's five seasons there. He missed a ton of time due to injury. He had pitched 219 total innings in his major league career in those five seasons. This season, he threw 205 and a third in the regular season, led baseball. That right there alone, the fact that he was able to get to the finish line without slowing down. And like, yeah, there was that Mets start where they pulled him about an inning earlier and they pushed him a little bit back after the All-Star break. But like outside of like, those are two really minor, like they didn't skip starts with this guy. He made 32 starts. Like they put the entire load of the pitching staff on his back and he was able to carry it. And it was unbelievably impressive. The fact that he's going to be, I mean, I think we would have been thrilled if he was a top 6-7 Cy Young finisher. He's going to come in second.
Yeah, he might come in first. You never know. It's closer than people are making out to. I think Scooball's the pretty big favorite, but you never know. Scooball's got another start left.
Scooball's minus 20,000 right now to win that award.
I know. That's so crazy. Crochet leads in a few categories too, and all the win probability, he's way ahead. So, but the voters don't care about that. We'll see. I hope Scooball gets shelled in his last start.
One more point on the Crochet thing. We talked about like him not having any sort of like even not even an extended run of mediocre starts, not even like a couple in a row. Like it was basically two was the max. I'm going to read you off some Max Fried game logs for about a month and a half. This is a guy that baseball fans and media and players, everyone considers an ace. Max Fried is an ace in Major
League
Baseball.
The Red Sox wanted him before they wanted Crochet. Remember that? They didn't get Fried and they quickly pivoted to Crochet.
They may have been aiming for both. We don't know the full story. But this is Max Fried's game logs. This is an ace in Major League Baseball, starting on July 1st and going through August 16th, so a month and a half. 6 innings, 4 runs. 5 innings, 3 runs. 3 innings, 4 runs. 5 and a third innings, 6 runs. 6 and 2/3 innings, 4 runs. 5 innings, 4 runs. 5 innings, 4 runs. 5 innings, 7 runs. After that, he figured it out. He put it back together as a super high-level big league pitcher does. The fact that Garrett Crochet, like that was 8 starts I just read off. That is an 8-start bad stretch for Max Fried. And Garrett Crochet, we couldn't name more than 1.5. That's how unbelievable he was this year.
Mm-hmm.
Max Fried's going to be a top 5 in the Cy Young. 2.86 ERA. Elite starting pitcher in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's just, and by the way, Crochet's 26. Not to bury the lead. He could possibly get better, if that's even possible.
Yeah, I mean the fact that this is year one of, and you got 6 to go.
Yeah, I mean you literally cannot say that there's no chance he gets better because he could. He's very young, and we've seen it a million times. And a lot of the times, these horse starting pitchers are best in their like late 20s, early 30s anyway. So remains to be seen.
Yeah, and like with these free agent dudes, like you see these guys sign contracts and they have it for a year and then they tail off because they've got so many innings under their belts. Again, Crochet, 219 innings before this year. His arm, like he's young. He's 26. He has what? His arm has the mileage of what? Like a 22-year-old?
Yeah. I was trying to think too. Was there one spot, like I literally won, was there one start where he was either not the stopper they needed during a losing streak or an extender they needed during an extent, like just keep things rolling? I don't remember there's one game where like we need Garrett Crochet and him not just bawling out. I don't remember one game.
Very reliable. Unlike your guys, Tarek Skubal, who the Tigers badly needed the other day, did not come through like Crochet did.
The Angels during that long losing streak. He went seven scoreless and they lost the game. Okay, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Sammy, I put Garrett Crochet's Cy Young odds at 0.005.
I respectfully think that is a little low.
That he doesn't deserve it, but Tarek Skubal
in the middle of this slide, he pitched 3.1 innings, gave up 4 earned runs.
That's when he got hurt.
Great. The only thing, Crochet didn't get hurt. Health is wealth. Skubal leads in ERA and WHIP. That's basically it. Just saying, innings pitched, strikeouts, all the win probability numbers. Skubal also a negative clutch factor is not good in high leverage this year. Just saying. He'll probably win.
Skubal's got the ERA by a pretty good margin and a higher WAR, which I feel like these awards at this point are just becoming the WAR awards. Like,
I hate that so much. WAR is so like, I'm so hit or miss with that. I love it when you have to quantify a guy whose best skill is defense because you can't always see that on the field. But with hitting and pitching, like I haven't even glanced at WAR for Skubal Crochet. I don't think it's, I don't know. I think it's so lazy when people just go to WAR and they're like, well, it's higher. Just call it the WAR award.
Oh man, I'm looking at this right now. Crochet's ERA before that blow up against Cleveland was 2.4. If he had just, and that, remember, he was good for what, the first 4 innings of that start?
Yeah.
Something like that. If he had just, if that start had gone well, his ERA for the year would be like right on par with Skubal's, and the argument would be completely different. It's crazy.
Also, Skubal had like 3 earned runs removed in a scorer's change thing like a start or two ago. So, yeah, he'll probably win, but does he deserve it? I don't think so.
Listen, the truth is they both deserve it. Like you look at Cy Young's in the past, like I love Rick Porcello. That season was awesome, but go look at Rick Porcello's Cy Young season and compare it to the year that Garrett Crochet is having this year.
He did not. That's the worst Cy Young of all time. Let's be honest.
Like, I'll pull it up. Ready? That year, he was Verlander 22-4. It was the wins, Cy Young. He had a 3.15 ERA. He did throw a shit ton of innings, 223 innings. He struck out 189 that year. Like, Garrett Crochet blows that out of the water this year.
That's not a good K rate either. Like no, the it's innings not. Pitched is, that's unbelievable. That's a ton of innings. But
not to mention that Crochet hasn't had any awful mistakes like Skubal going all hut-hut hike in that game on Tuesday.
That was funny as hell. Dude, that inning was fucking chaotic. He hiked the ball into the outfield. Two batters later, he hits David Fry in the face, sending him to the hospital, breaking his face. And then he boxed the go-ahead run to third, which eventually scores on a sacrifice. So Sammy, you talk about clutch factor. He did melt down in that inning. He cost them that game. Granted, their offense also cost them that game.
Second time in September when they need him most.
Listen, I love Garrett Crochet. I wish he could win the Cy Young because he deserves to be a Cy Young winner.
I just don't like how big of a favorite Skubal is. Like, I think that's so insane. If you look at the numbers, what is the argument for him being minus 20,000? That's completely crazy. The only thing he has by a big margin is ERA, and it's not that much. Like, it's like a quarter of a run.
Can I make a guess? The odds, I feel like, are trying to quantify the likelihood of the voting outcome. So it's like,
Yeah,
but why? If you know for a fact that every single voter thinks that Skubal is a hair above Crochet, even though it's just separated by a hair, if you knew that every voter felt that way, he would be minus a million because you know the outcome. Right?
But we just spoke about Rick Porcello and you called it the win Cy Young. Crochet has five more wins. It's a lot of wins.
Well, now he's don't give a shit about wins. They still kind of half
a few years ago. I don't think they should count wins, but I'm just, you know, just playing devil's advocate. Wait. He also like 14 more strikeouts and 10 more innings. That's like an entire game's worth of numbers. More than that.
Why does Tarik Skubal not have more wins? He's
That threw me off.
Yeah, how is that possible? He's 13, right, Sammy? Is it 13?
Because he's not clutch, dude. He's not clutch. I'm telling you. Look at the win probability numbers. He's not clutch. I'm kidding. I'm way over exaggerating. Tarik Skubal is unbelievable. Just so listeners know, but he's not clutch according to the numbers.
The funny thing here is, Skubal is announced as the starter for Sunday's game against the Red Sox. I'm trying to think of the scenarios where he goes versus he doesn't go. Like,
Go ahead.
If they are in the playoffs, if they've clinched a playoff berth, but a win on Sunday would get you the division and thus a bye, which actually it probably wouldn't, because I feel like they're passed by a good margin by the Yankees and Jays and Mariners. So maybe this is a stupid question. But I'm trying to logically think, would it be worth throwing your ace in that game to get the bye, where if you lose now, he's not available for the entire wild card round?
No, I don't think there's any scenario. Well, no, because I was going to say, what if that gets them home field advantage? Nah, no, I don't think there's any chance he pitches Sunday. Very, very low chance, I should say. Just because, like, Tigers, if and when, are they in yet?
No, dude, they're below the Sox.
If they're in, the only thing that matters from that point on is winning game one, because that team, the Tigers, their next best starter is who the Red Sox face on Friday, is Mize, numbers wise. So that's not exactly a scary game two starter. And then you have Flaherty, who's not been great this year. Olsen's out. Paddock's not great. Morton got DFA'd. Like, they need Skubal in the playoffs. They are nothing without him. So I don't think there's any shot, unless they absolutely need him, that he pitches Sunday. So if you're a Red Sox fan who really cares about these awards, you better pray the Tigers don't get in until Sunday, so there's a chance that the Red Sox offense can return the favor to Garrett Crochet and rock Tarik Skubal, thereby getting Crochet the AL Cy Young award that he deserves. That would be poetic.
Sammy, yeah, I love you, but it's not happening.
It's not happening, yeah.
I love you. I love Garrett Crochet. I want it to happen so badly.
Yeah, I mean,
he knows it in his face.
No, I know. I know Skubal is going to win it, but if he pitches Sunday, there's a chance.
I think I think there's no shot in hell. A, Skubal does not win it. B, he pitches Sunday if it's not like a win to get in game 162.
Well, it could be.
Especially, like, it could be. It absolutely could be. If it's not, there's no shot. A, because in all likelihood, they're going to get the last wild card if they do get in, I think. But the other thing, too, is since he had that weird kind of like rib thing, lat, whatever it was, he has not looked sharp. So if they have an opportunity to get him extra rest, get him right for a wild card series, they are 100% doing that.
Yeah, I mean, he's been allowing, I mean, good for him for getting through those, and like, he's able to gas it up when he needs to. Like, this is a starting pitcher who can throw over 100 miles an hour when he's in a jam and needs to get through something. But there's been a lot of traffic for Tarik Skubal in these last few starts. Here's where the Tigers stand right now. Right now, they're in the third wild card spot. They're tied record wise with the Guardians, but the Guardians have the tiebreaker. They're a game ahead of the Astros for the final wild card spot. I don't know who has the tiebreaker. I'd have to go look in the schedule. But like, that's the scenario where Skubal pitches here, is if they're tied with the Astros and a loss puts the fate in the Astros' hands to then knock the Tigers out. I mean, you almost have to pitch him there. You cannot miss the playoffs if you're that team. Jobs are on the line if you miss the playoffs if you're that team.
Tigers, it says Tigers 4-2, so they have the tiebreaker. Okay. Picture this: they need to use Skubal on Sunday to get in. It's required. They need it. The scenario shakes out that way. Tigers got to use Scooball. Let's say he pitches 6 innings, 3 earned runs, but the Tigers lose to the Red Sox 3-2. And so they lose the Scooball game on the last day of the season to miss the playoffs. You can't give him the Cy Young.
He's getting the Cy Young.
He would get the Cy Young.
Can't do it.
If he was a quality start away from potentially losing the Cy Young, the odds would not be -20,000.
I think it's so dumb though. That's my thing. Not him winning. That doesn't bug me. The fact that people are like, it's not even close. Like, are you blind? Do you not know how to read these numbers? A fifth grader could read these numbers and be like, these guys are really close. Wow. Like, it's crazy to me how Gordo, you probably hit the nail on the head. Like, people are guessing how the voters are going to vote. Because anyone with a fucking functioning brain knows that these guys are neck and neck. But, like, it has to be the voters. It has to be what you said.
They are
neck and neck in every category. Crochet leads in half. Scuba leads in half. Scuba has ERA, so everyone's picking him.
But Sammy, Crochet leads the categories he leads. Like, the Ks are by a small margin, the innings by a small margin, the ERA is by a pretty wide margin. Like, I don't think that there's a giant gap between the two, but it's pretty clearly.
It's a quarter, yeah. It's a quarter of a run. But like I said, with the strikeouts, it's like 15 of them. That's like two games worth.
The biggest thing too is strikeout, or maybe not strikeout to walk ratio, but just walks, period. Dude, Scooble.
33 for Scooble.
Unreal. Yeah. That's a walk nuts. A start. That is insane.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That is crazy. That's probably
he has a sub one whip.
Crochet has 46. That's not exactly a big gap. Over 32 starts, made more than Scooble. Scooble only 31. He didn't make as many. But Crochet has 46, so that's not a huge difference either.
Oh, Pat, I thought you had something.
No, I was just asking. You said he has a sub one whip too, right?
Yeah, he does. It's like it's sub 0.9.
I mean, dude.
Yeah, Crochet is 1.02, so not exactly another big gap.
I mean, he had a fucking amazing season.
But Pat says it's not even close. Pat says it's not even in this same round.
Scooble is that good where that's not even an insult.
Yeah, it's not an indictment on Crochet.
It's not even true, though.
Sammy, -20,000.
I know, that's what I'm saying is dumb. It makes no sense. I mean, look, 15 more strikeouts, 10 more innings.
If they're so confident, they should make Crochet +20,000. See how that goes.
Yeah, bet on that. I hope he wins. Pat, you're not allowed to celebrate if Crochet. You have to do a walk of shame, put a fake tail between your legs, and walk around Fenway and be like, oh, I said it was guaranteed for Scooball. I cucked for Scooball.
If Crochet wins the Cy Young, Pat has to play a recorder in the street until he collects $50 of people's spare change.
No, I'm not saying that.
I don't think he's going to win either. I just think it should be closer. I think it's like disrespectful to Garrett Crochet to say it's not close, because it is.
All right. Before we get to enough said, we got to be really quick on this because we are definitely running low on time. But Bayo's start today. How did you guys feel about it?
We got to go quickly,
but we definitely got to talk about it.
I didn't like it.
He was good. He had one bad inning. Like, he's Bayo's at his best. Bayo's at his best when he's pitching to contact and not walking guys and throwing strikes. Command wasn't at his best, but I mean, he was clean for 5 innings.
He
had one bad inning. He got screwed by the defense too. Like, he wasn't great, but he improved from his last start, and it wasn't a disaster. But the last inning was very bad.
That was funny as hell. I go, how was Bayo's outing? Pat goes, I didn't like it.
Pat is
like
just terrified. Just terrified of the world right now. Every little thing, he's like,
hold on,
Bayo.
Before we get to Pat, because I know Pat's going to be on the other side of this. I agree with Sammy. I really liked what I saw for 5 innings. I know the pitch usage was strange, but I like when Bayo generates ground balls, and I don't need him to strike out the world. But the walks, the hit by pitches, and the it was the sixth inning. He hit two batters, and he walked a third? No, he only hit two. So he must have had three walks another inning. He had the error for the third base runner. Obviously, with Bayo, it's so much about the command. I don't know where the changeup went. If there was a thing to be concerned about with the start, it's that I believe he only threw four of them.
Yeah, so that's where I was going. I was saying I disagree with Pat. I thought he looked good for the vast majority of the game.
Yeah.
But the biggest concern for me is like his best pitch. I think we all agree his best pitch is his changeup.
It was his most effective.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
And
anymore.
He's not. He at the beginning of the year he was throwing it, but it was like 90-91, so it was a little too hard. It looked a little too much like the fastball. Then the middle of the season he figured it out, started using it more, and now it's going away again at like the worst time. So on one hand it's encouraging that he gave you 5 innings clean without it, but things fell apart really quickly, and I just imagine that if with the changeup things are normally better, and I just don't.
But it's like
we were talking about it before the game. Yeah, why? Like, what?
That's the question.
Possibly be the reason. Like, does he have a blister on the inside of a finger and it's fucking up? Like, it's just bizarre. Like, that's we all agree that's his best pitch.
I don't think it's been his best pitch this year. I think every other year it was. I think this year I feel like his cutter's been his best.
His front hip sinker is disgusting.
Yeah,
when he can locate on lefties, that front hip sinker is good.
Pat, what didn't you like about this one? Let's hear your side of this.
First and foremost, the 4 changeups is just insane to me. That's scary. Because if he's going into the playoffs and he only trusts sinker, cutter, slider, it's not enough. And then the other thing, too, is it's not like this is a bad start heading into the postseason. This is like a rough stretch. His last 4 games, 20 innings, 13 earned, 2 home runs, 9 walks, 5.85 ERA.
Yikes.
So as like as a final tune-up going into the playoffs, knock on wood, I wanted a little bit more. I wanted at least, even if he only went like 5 really good innings, that's fine. Great, cool. But like it got sloppy at the end. There was no changeups being thrown. Command really fizzled out in that 6th inning. It's just, it wasn't a disaster, but it was not the promising start I was kind of hoping for.
He had runners on first and second, full count on Santander, tie game. And it was like, all right, Brian, you can't load the bases with no outs. We need a pitch here. Come on, give us your best pitch. And he drills Santander in the leg. Like
not even close either.
That was, you gotta laugh.
Who did he hit the first time? Was it Heinemann or is it Varsho? He hit someone else that wasn't even close. Let me give you the other thing that if you want to be concerned about this, because again, like I was encouraged by it because Pat, I agree. He's had a rough month, a very rough September, and this is definitely the best he's looked in some time. Especially if you look at just the first 5 innings and don't look at the 6, which obviously you have to look at the 6. But I'll tell you what concerned me the most out of everything was that he was dealing, and even while he was about to finish off a scoreless 5th to finish 5 scoreless innings, he was in the high 70s for pitches. And Cora had Justin Wilson going in the bullpen.
Yeah.
When he was at like 75 pitches about to finish a clean 5th, why is Justin Wilson going there when he's at 77 pitches? Like, unless the Red Sox are concerned about something, right? That's a little weird.
That is weird. I didn't notice that. That's strange, mate. I'm thinking like, who's a big lefty they have? Varsho, but no,
there wasn't a lefty due up for a couple.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Guys, like,
yeah, that's
he's almost preparing for it, which I guess like be over prepared, but I don't know. It's like if Crochet was at 77 pitches, you don't have a righty warming up to face a righty, and obviously
Heinemann. I don't think it's Heinemann. You don't take out a a guy in the fifth inning for Heineman. Oh, this guy hit. I don't know. That's bizarre. I was going to say maybe it's Cora being aggressive, but if he's being aggressive, why are you going to Justin Wilson in that spot, who's your like coldest reliever right now? That is alarming.
In general, have been a little bit like Wilson and Matz. Not great.
Yeah,
totally too.
You might need Harrison or Early, one of them out of the pen come October. Big start. One thing Pat said that I agree with, real quick before we move on. Enough said. Pat mentioned Bayo's his sinker, which tails a lot, has a lot of arm side ride. I have in my notes the strikeout he had to Varsho was that pitch that Pat referenced. That was like one of the best pitches I've ever seen Bayo throw in my life. That was fucking amazing. Ball for 90% of the way from his hand to home plate, tails like a fucking like a screwball, almost like a slider from the other hand into the strike zone. Varsho had no shot. That was like that might have taken over the changeup as his best pitch. It probably has this year because the changeup has been up and down, like we said. So probably have to amend that. That's his best pitch now, which I'm not sure if that's good or bad, to be totally honest.
I think the fact that the changeup is where it is and he's still been as effective as he's been is a good sign for the future of Bayo. Obviously, like the changeup is not going to magically reappear as in the form that it was the last couple of years for the postseason, but come next spring training, I still think there's another step for Brian Bayo to take. It's why, you know, the upside is so enticing with him. Like, it's just, you dream on it. If you just combine the versions of Bayo, it's like when you talk about Tolley and Early, it's like if you could combine those two, you'd have a perfect pitcher. If you could combine Bayo's changeup with what he's put together everywhere else in his arsenal, he'd be a stud. And he already is a stud, so he'd just be a studly stud. But
studly stud. I would kill to be able to ask Andrew Bailey, like, what's up with the changeup? Just why? Because, like, we're just podcasting, guys. We don't know why Brian Bayo scrapped the pitch that we had all previously agreed is his best pitch in the middle of his best season, and it's working, but it's not working. Could it be better? Maybe, we think, but not 100% sure, because he is a weird guy, Brian Bayo. Strange cat.
When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans. Send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th. And never miss a meme or milestone. All protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
This episode is brought to you by Jack Daniels. Jack Daniels and music are made for each other. They share a rhythm in the craft of making something timeless, while being a part of legendary nights. From backyard jams to sold-out arenas, there's a song in every toast. Please drink responsibly. Responsibility.org. Jack Daniel's and Old No. 7 are registered trademarks. Tennessee whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume. Jack Daniel Distillery, Lynchburg, Tennessee.
All right, let's do some Nuff Said before we get out of here. Anyone want to go first?
Pat? I can go first because it's a embarrassing story. So today, as I'm on my way to the gym before work, and I was in line to get coffee. And no shame. No shame when I say this. You guys know I'm a humongous like movie soundtrack guy. Like, my workout playlist is just like all like movie scores, whatever. Hand up. Disney soundtracks are fucking good, man. They're really good. Tarzan, Hercules, Brother Bear, you name, whatever. Dude, I'm in line, like not in my car, like I'm physically standing in line. There is a woman in front of me, and a woman behind me. Full blast from my pocket plays Go the Distance from Hercules. And both of the woman in front of me, the woman behind me, and the two girls behind the counter start cackling. And I had to awkwardly just pull my hand out of my pocket and hit pause and put it back in my pocket.
Ooh.
I lagged out. I heard none of that. Don't tell it again. Well, you'll tell me
after. I won't. Yeah. So that's it rough. Was, well, dude, it was shameful.
You could also
it
just be shameful. Like, you could like spin it and be like, look how confident I am. This is what I'm into. Whatever.
Yeah, no, not in that moment.
Not wait, where moment. Were you getting coffee?
Mary Lou's.
Oh, I was going to say, don't say Mary Lou's. It'll make it even.
Oh, dude, I get Mary Lou's every day. Every single day. But yeah. So, yeah, so that was how my morning started.
With like the pink walls and all like the strong smell.
Yep. And like the 19-year-old girls behind the counter just like cackling. I'm like, I want to die.
Damn, I can't wait to hear this story.
Yeah, it was rough out here. Yeah.
All right. I got a weird one. I just have like a baseball theory I wanted to run by you guys. Do you guys ever think that we will see probably the Rays if this happens? A team like the Rays build a team with no starting pitchers and just a bunch of guys that are kind of like Eric Lauer today, who used to be starters that can go 4 or 5 innings at any point, and no relievers. So just 4 to 5 inning guys in the year like 2056 as the game ages, and I'll be dead by then, but.
Yeah, you will.
I was just thinking about that. You guys think that's even possible? Just a bunch of 3 to 5 inning guys on the same team. You never know who's pitching on a given day. It's always a different guy. There's no order. It's impossible for the other team's manager to plan for it. It's a bitch for their manager to work it all out every single day. But
I actually think it would be the opposite. I think you would know who's pitching because you'd be able to see who's thrown 4 innings in the last day or two. And then
you have an idea. You'd have an idea of who's pitching, but it could be like, all right, it's one of these 3 guys today. Like, who could it be? And think about it. You'd have your 5 starters. So that's 5 guys. They're not actually starters, but those 5. And then how many bullpen guys? Red Sox have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
It's like 9.
I've thought about this a lot of times in the past. Like, how many? Like, I've tried to think outside the box. Like, how can you get through games if you didn't have a starting rotation? Like, is the bullpen game the way of the future? And every single time I come back to, you're not able to get through a season unless you have 5 slots of dudes eating significant innings. But with the way you said, now your relievers are eating more innings. Like, you'd need to have only like 2 or 3 1-inning guys in that.
So there's like no starters and no relievers on this team. Everyone is just a pitcher. And they are all available whenever they're available, and they all go between, let's say, like between 2 to 5 innings an outing. Like, 2 is the minimum. Everyone's a multi-inning guy. Maybe they have a closer, and that's the exception. I don't know, but I don't know. It was just an interesting thought I had.
I think logistically it wouldn't work though, with how rest would have to shake out. Like, if you have, let's say, you pitch 3 guys, you go 3-3-3. Those guys are down for 2 or 3 days. So that's 3 guys down. That leaves you with 6. Well, actually, if you're going 14, there's you 8. Yeah.
3, 6, but 9, like, 12, 15. You'd need 15 guys if everyone's doing 3 innings. If you have a rotation of 3 innings. But then again, no, it would work because you wouldn't need to go every 5 days. You could go every
3. If you have 15 guys, if you have 15 guys and they go 3 each every day, that's the same amount of innings as if you have like 5 starters.
Yeah.
And
but they would all be not good. Otherwise, they'd be starting pitchers.
That's the thing, is they're probably not going to be good. That would be the real problem. I'm just saying, like, logistically, could, like, let's say they are magically good, these pitchers, like Eric Lauer, like I mentioned earlier, like a 3.7 ERA. Like, you're not elite, but you're solid. I don't know. It'd be fun. Fun to think about.
All right. Well, I'll get to mine. I'll be quick with mine, and then we'll get out of here because I know we're over on time. But if you haven't seen it already, go to the WEI Sox booth Twitter account, or I posted the video too. But listen to Carlos Narvaez's response to when Will Fleming asked him sort of to just kind of reflect on the journey that has taken him to this point in his life. And like, he signed his first professional contract in 2015. It took him basically a decade to get a legitimate spot on a big league roster. And you could tell how emotional he got thinking about that path, that journey, all of the obstacles, all of the years of work and everything that led him to this point, all the years in the minor leagues playing in all these different leagues. And he got really emotional. I just think it's worth going to listen to because that he is probably the most genuine dude I think the Red Sox have. And that's not like an insult to anyone else that they have, but like, he's just, I mean, he feels his emotions and he's willing to talk about it. And you could just see, you know, how emotional reflecting on his journey makes him. And I thought it was really cool that he shared that with people, because not everyone would do that. So shout out to the Narv. I love the Narv. Love that he had a great series. Love that he had such a great year. Such a big part of this team now and into the future. And we're lucky to have him. Go Narv.
Yeah, man. He's a mainstay in the lineup now. I feel like about like halfway point of the season, this fan base in general just kind of was like, yep, that's Carlos Narvaez. He's the catcher. He's an elite defender. He can also hit. But that is such a weapon. And he came out of nowhere. I don't think anyone really knew much about him other than he was supposed to be the defensive backup for Connor Wong when he got here. Got him on the same day as Crochet, which is cool. Kind of flew under the radar because of that, because Crochet was a big deal. So, yeah, the Narv, super nice guy. If like, I'm sure he's more than happy to meet fans. Like, he's just the coolest guy. And I like how he smacks everyone in the midsection when he says hello. He's like, what's up, man?
I don't give a fuck about Elmer Rodriguez Cruz. I don't. You can put him on any list you want him. I don't give a fuck.
You can only be so good if your name is Elmer.
I love that name. It's a great name. We've had this conversation before. That's how weird we are. All right, we got to wrap this thing up. We got to get out of here. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Episode 269 of Play Tessie. Hopefully the next time you hear from us, we'll be talking postseason ball, but we're not doing it tonight. Well, we are kind of doing it tonight, but we didn't have a certainty. But next time we will, hopefully. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos. You can find all the Play Tessie videos in the Play Tessie podcast playlist. Remember to hit the thumbs up and subscribe, and then find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. We've had a great year of getting content with the players, posting clips from the pod. So make sure to check that out. It's really good stuff. Give us a follow. We really appreciate it. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo here for Play Tessie episode 269. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Doug. Limu and I always tell you to customize your car insurance and save hundreds with Liberty Mutual. But now, we want you to feel it. Cue the emu music, Limu.
Save yourself money today. Increase your wealth. Customize and save, we say.
That may have been too much feeling.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Savings vary. Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Excludes Massachusetts.
For a limited time at McDonald's, get a Big Mac extra value meal for $8. That means two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions on a sesame seed bun, and medium fries and a drink. We may need to change that jingle.
Prices and participation may vary.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.